you hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold, Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama, a cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at DungeonsandDoritos.com.
State of the Empire is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse, and is brought to you in part by Consequence of Sound, the web's foremost source of music and film news, reviews, and insights. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to State of the Empire, Nerdy Show's Star Wars speculation podcast, where we look for news in Alderaan places. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
In this episode, we are talking about the brand new Star Wars virtual reality experience, Secrets of the Empire, created by The Void. We're going to both give you a spoiler-free review of that experience, and then also take you behind the blast doors, where we're going to speak freely about everything that happens in this semi-canonical interactive story. So you may have noticed that Matt isn't with us. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it. Matt was not able to actually go to The Void because Doug and I are both in Orlando and Matt is in Los Angeles. The Orlando location of The Void at Disney Springs, formerly Downtown Disney, is open as of the same weekend as The Last Jedi, but they have to wait until January 5th, I believe, for the Anaheim branch to open up. And fortunately, Matt does have opening tickets for that, so he's not going to get spoiled by us unless he listens to this. And then also there's a location opening up in London, which is unexpected and cool. And that should be happening early next year as well. So The Void, they are an outfit out of Utah that have been developing very interactive varieties of virtual reality. Virtual reality that happens in a physical space to where you can put your hand, if you see a wall in front of you, you can reach out and you can touch a wall. And not only can you reach out and touch a wall, but you can see your own hand doing it. Your hand, the hand of who you are in the virtual world anyway. If you see a bench in the virtual space, you can sit down on it. Everything is as real as possible, and there's all kinds of effects that you're interfacing with.
A lot of environmental effects as well.
Yeah, we learned about them several years ago when they were just getting started. And as of now, I mean, they've got, obviously they impressed some people. They impressed some very important people with an awful lot of money. Because if you watch the trailer online for Secrets of the Empire, you're going to see a jaw-dropping Star Wars experience just from the trailer alone. And they also have a Ghostbusters experience in New York and Toronto. And what the Void's ultimate goal is to not just be the purveyor of these copywritten, franchise things. Though it's a great way to distribute their technology and get people into it. But they want to be a name brand in virtual reality entertainment, where you would go to a Void location, which is what the one in Disney Springs is. It's currently only doing Star Wars, but it's going to become a full blown, you know, entertainment center for this, these kinds of experiences. Jack in to this thing. And what it is, it's a vest with a sort of computer on your back that's surprisingly lightweight. The vest gives you haptic feedback, so it, vibrations and all that, and a really high-end helmet that gives you immersive sound, and you can speak to your teammates and whatever you're doing and hear them. So I guess we'll give our overall spoiler-free impressions right now.
Yeah. I would say you got to do it. You got to do it.
Yes.
It is a ton of fun.
Thank you, Doug. Good review.
The only downside is that you can do a maximum of four people at a time. And I wanted it to be longer. I think the length is good as is, but I wanted more. I wanted to go for another hour. Like, you know, it was something else. And
it's four people. It's 30 minutes. It costs about $30, and it is. That's pricey, sure, but it is well worth the price of admission because this experience is crazy. You play a group of rebels masquerading as stormtroopers infiltrating a base on Mustafar. That's the elevator pitch, the spoiler-free elevator pitch anyway. And I mean, it's crazy. You know, you'll walk over chasms of lava and like working in this real space, much like what you would do with an HTC Vive in a smaller setting. I mean, there's really, you know, nothing quite like it. The ability to move around, to pick up a gun off a rack in virtual space and have it in your hands, fire this gun, be in firefights with stormtroopers.
Not to mention when you step out over these chasms of lava, you not only feel the heat of the lava like so far below you, but you also smell like the sulfur in the air. Like they really went all out. And you know, and when you're in an elevator, you feel the floor shaking and they really thought of everything. And it's kind of like what we were always promised virtual reality would be like. I mean, it's not exactly the Matrix or Johnny Mnemonic, but it is
actually the first step.
It is definitely the first step. And so I would say if you're a Star Wars fan, you're listening to the podcast, you're obviously a huge Star Wars fan, you got to do it. You have to. And even if you're like a casual Star Wars fan, but you're big into like tech or virtual reality or just gaming, you got to. Like,
yeah.
The only people I wouldn't recommend this to is if you're not into Star Wars and VR, like maybe you're not interested in VR. Maybe VR makes you queasy or something. That might be a problem.
Though,
but it was so smooth. I couldn't imagine it being that difficult for other people.
We were with someone who does sometimes like not adjust to VR very well, and it was better. So maybe it's fine. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, you're right, Doug. Like, this is 21st century entertainment right here. Like, this is the dream of the 90s come to life. If you have had a bad experience with VR, if you've had no experience with VR, you got to try this because this is the real deal this time.
Yeah, it's hands down the best. And I did the, and this is coming from like 2 years ago when I did the, or even last year, I did the Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights VR experience. And it was very good. It was very solid. But it was a very limited space that you were in. You were holding controllers and you really couldn't interact that much with the world around you. It was just more of like being in that space and feeling the presence of being in the space. This cranked it to like ludicrous speed. This was like,
yeah, this is you moving around, doing shit, touching buttons, pulling levers, the works.
Running through corridors and dodging blasters. I mean, it's everything you could want from a Star Wars VR. I want to go into details, but I don't want to spoil yet. We're not behind the blast doors, but yeah.
I've played the Star Wars VR I haven't done Droid Factory yet, but the initial ILM X-Lab thing that was made, released for free for HTC Vive, and it wasn't great. I didn't like it. The Stormtrooper blast, the whole thing is like you have a lightsaber and you need to reflect the blast from the Stormtroopers. Stormtrooper blasts were firing like unrealistically slow, so you could time your hits and everything. But no, this is quite real. This is a actual combat situation you're in, and I did not do very good.
Yeah, I felt I did okay, but yeah, I could see that you were playing rather timid, you know, like the whole time, just kind of hiding behind walls.
Well, Doug, when I was hiding behind those walls, that was because I'd already learned my lesson from getting fired on quite a bit. You can't die in this, but we actually weren't sure that you couldn't, so.
Yeah, no, it's after like after the first time I was shot, I was like, and you can, because you can feel it. It doesn't hurt at all. It just sort of vibrates wherever you got shot, but it vibrates where you were shot. And I was just so not expecting it that I'm just shooting. And all of a sudden, just pew, I see one come at me and hit me. And I just, as soon as I felt it, I immediately had this primal urge of get down. I was like, even though it didn't even hurt, it was like, oh my God, they're not playing around. Like, so it's weird how quickly you get sucked into this thing. Like, I went in saying, all right, is there going to be a screen door effect? Is the sound going to work okay? Am I going to be able to hear everyone all right? Is it going to track my hands properly? Am I going to, you know, is it going to be able to tell where I'm standing the whole time? Is it going to get herky jerky? But 20 seconds into this thing, I'd completely forgotten, like, to think critically about
it. Yeah, there was no more scrutiny. It was just happening. Yeah. It was real life all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. So I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, it is seriously, it is so worth it. Especially, I mean, if you listen to our last episode, our last Jedi review, we went to some dark places in terms of our feelings on Star Wars, and those feelings have only kind of, in the days that have happened since we did that review, they've only gotten more complicated as we've tried to process what exactly the new film means in terms of the continuity, in terms of the business of storytelling that like Disney and the story group are working on. We still have some extremely complicated feelings towards Star Wars, but this
for me, my feelings are getting simpler. Feelings are getting better and better.
Matt and I still have very complicated feelings, and
which
is fine. This reminded me full force. Hey, you know what? You still love Rebels. You still have these comic books, and you still love this damn video game thing,
dude. That's the thing, man. You know what? Like, it made for a split second, it made me wonder. Like, it's been like, what, how many years since the original Star Wars came out, and we're still the biggest influence of Star Wars?
40 years, Doug.
Right. Well, I know, but I'm just hypothetically, I'm just saying, it's been like, you know, how many years, and we're still focusing on the movies. We've only just barely expanded into TV, but it may be possible that the future of Star Wars is in VR, like, because the ability to do your own story and be in something like this is... It was awesome.
Yeah, well, and, I mean, as my impressions of the most recent film still hold true, I don't think it should have been a film. Like, I think that they don't know, like, that the film format is people are overcomplicating the stories that they can tell within that format, and that maybe we need to either make up our minds on what we want to offer in that theatrical, like, constraint, or decide, no, this story actually shouldn't be told this way.
But if you are like Cap and Matt, where you feel that The Last Jedi was a little bit left you wanting, then you have to do this. Like, you have to plan a trip, and you have to go and see this. They have to make a pilgrimage.
Do you want a palate cleansing Star Wars experience? Look no further than the void.
and even if you're like me and you like The Last Jedi and you just. You have to go just the same because it's next level stuff.
So before we open the blast doors, I think it's time for some indie inquiry.
Oh?
Yes, Doug. Because we've talked about it in the past, but we actually experienced it tonight. We went to Jock's Hangar Bay, or Jock's Hangar, what is it called?
Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar.
Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar. The extremely vaguely Indiana Jones themed bar at Disney Springs, and it was fucking great.
I wouldn't even say vaguely. I would say subtly.
Yeah, I mean, subtle. The subtlety is high. The average person is not going to know who Jock Lindsay is. And,
right, but that's why I love it.
Yeah, exactly. It's Jock Lindsay is, if you don't recall that name, he's the pontoon pilot from the beginning of Raiders with the pet snake Reggie. So
yeah, a lot of references to Reggie all throughout the restaurant.
Yeah, and including his snake pen.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk into this old timey hangar. He is like, it's like a sort of airplane adventurer guy who lived from a flying circus who tangled with some air pirates, or maybe was a part of some air piracy. I'm not really sure. It's got all this stuff in this place. He opened a bar, kind of like, I don't know, Louie in Tailspin. And
yeah, it's like if Indiana Jones had actually existed. You're stepping into a bar that was opened by a guy who went on several adventures with Indiana Jones, and he named all of his drinks after the people that he met in his life. So for any Indiana Jones fans, if you know, after you check out The Void, stop by the Jock Lindsay's Hangar, because it was a good way to cap off with a whole Lucas-y feeling evening.
It was great. Oh man, it was so good. And all the drinks that we got were amazing. And for being in a theme park region, reasonably priced, actually, including some non-alcoholic drinks. I had a cool watermelon froth topped thing called, what was it called? The diving bell. And they had a big diving bell inside the, like it was a diving bell that had been carved out into a booth inside the restaurant. It was super cool.
I had the antidote, as in Temple of Doom in the beginning. All right, Lau, here's the diamond antidote. It was also non-alcoholic, but it was very tasty.
And it was just a Shirley Temple, but it's a fun name. And if you want to go much deeper than that, there's plenty of alcoholic beverages such as the Anything Goes and the Scottish Professor and many.
The Jovito Mojito.
Yeah, it's a great fun menu to read through, and
Sala's falafel.
Yes. Oh yeah. We had a ton of fun tonight. So Disney Springs, man, they're doing some really cool stuff over there. This stupid renovation was really worth it.
If not just for the void alone.
Yeah. So not really much in the way of an indie inquiry, but hey. I guess we'll call it here, and maybe now that The Last Jedi is out, we'll have some new Indiana Jones news for you in the near future. Now, before we open the blast doors, two last things. One, thank you so much for listening to the show, and if you like what we do, please do consider supporting us. Tickets to Star Wars The Void, Seekers of the Empire, do not come cheaply. And we did not use company money for this excursion, but maybe someday we could. So please do support us at patreon.com/nerdyshow. It supports this show and all the shows on the Nerdy Show Network. You can also shop on our Amazon links at nerdyshow.com/Amazon. Anything you buy there through those links will give back to us. And we also have shirts and a store at nerdyshow.com/store. But if you don't want to spend any money, then hey, rate and review us on iTunes. Help other people discover the show. Maybe they'll spend some money on us. Who knows? But we do 100%, whether it's word of mouth or actual financial contributions, fully depend on you liking what we do. If you stop liking what we do, we'll stop doing it. But in the meantime, we want to do it bigger, better, faster, and harder, and stronger, and so on. And you know, hey, if we can get to the point where we can afford to all be in the same place when we see the next Star Wars film, then we'll be able to churn out our reviews an awful lot faster. That said, if you want to hang out with us and talk about The Last Jedi or decompress about other spoilery Star Wars things, or your experience with Secrets of the Empire, for that matter, head to our Facebook group, Star Wars Spoilers, and we've been having a good time there with the wide variety of opinions about this new film. A friend of ours who works at Smosh published an article called 54 Questions The Last Jedi Needs to Answer, which is very good. Some of those questions were answered by examining the visual guide, but some of them are really, you know, worth considering, and you may have also had. And there's been plenty of discussion spinning out of that article, and then also just some really wonderful interaction with folks who are sharing their likewise conflicted feelings about this experience. But all that said, let's open the blast doors.
Open the blast doors! Open the blast doors!
Okay, so we knew that there was at the very least an Imperial security droid in this, if not straight up K2SO. And it turns out it is K2SO. But
and it's actually Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, and it's actually Alan Tudyk, but it's not just K2SO. Cassian fucking Andor is in this thing. They filmed Diego Luna giving you a mission briefing. I screamed. I was through the roof. My shit.
To clarify, I think they filmed Diego Luna reading a teleprompter.
But he was bringing it, Doug. He was bringing the performance.
He was bringing it. But the monitor they have you watching is so close to your face. It's just like, oh, this is getting kind of personal or whatever. But
he's got to make that Yabba money.
Yeah, the only downside was that it was so close to the front lobby. Like, you could just hear people talking in the front lobby, and I'm like, shut up, everyone! Cassian Andor's talking to me about a very secret mission. Like,
yeah, that was a bummer.
Really listen really carefully. But it was really cool to see him again. God, I want to see more Cassian Andor and everything.
Yes,
and
he is the true hero of the rebellion. Fuck Poe Dameron, Cassian Andor.
Cassian Andor is willing to do the dirty work that no one else is willing to do as long as it wins the war.
Yeah, and he's not a fuck up. I didn't think Poe was until this movie. I still don't think Poe is. I think that for some reason continuity shifted and we're on this terrible timeline where Poe's always been a fuck-up.
Well, I wouldn't even say fuck-up as much as he disobeyed orders, but Cassian Andor disobeyed orders and you didn't say shit.
Yeah, well, Cassian Andor disobeyed orders and it mattered. Cassian Andor disobeyed orders and it saved lives.
But anyway, okay. So anyway. So after this like mission briefing, we go in and to these little separate rooms and they start to strap the pack onto you and everything. And it was right around then I realized this is getting serious because this vest that they make you wear, it's, I don't want to say it's heavy, that like it's actually like really cumbersome, but you can feel like there's definite weight behind it.
Which makes it like armor, which is kind of good, yeah, actually. Because no, it's not, it's, like, it's heavy, but it's not actually, it's actually lighter than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, like once it's strapped on, because here's the thing, right? So it's like they put it on, you go, oh, this is a little heavier than I mean, it's not heavy, but it's like there's enough heft to it where you like you definitely notice it. And then they put the helmet on you, and just when you're thinking like, man, is this, how much am I going to really experience with just this all on my chest and everything on my head? But as soon as you see yourself and your friends around you in stormtrooper outfits, you're like, I feel like I'm wearing a stormtrooper outfit. Like it really came together really nicely. But also when they put the headset on, one cool surprise is that since you have, you know, headphones on, you can hear your teammates talking. It wasn't put through a stormtrooper voice filter, but it was close enough so that you could, you know, very clearly understand what everyone was saying.
You also get then, you get to pick when after Cassian's done talking to you, you also get to pick your shoulder strap, the like,
yeah, the little how sand troopers have an orange.
Yeah, so you can shoulder you can pick pad. From like seven colors, and that way you'll know which one is your people.
Yeah, with that you go in, and they you slide the visor down over your eyes, and next thing you know, you and your teammates are stormtroopers, and you're standing in like a small room, which I guess is like an elevator that where it's part of the cargo hold of a small shuttlecraft. And the doors open, you go in, and there's K2SO talking to you and says, all right, everyone step on in and let's get the show on the road, and starts debriefing you on like as you make your final approach to Mustafar.
Yeah, and there's a person piloting the ship who is a named character whose name I think I recognize, but is like a very sidestep character. And I cannot for the life of me remember the name of this person, but they were wearing one of the sort of transitional era stormtrooper kind of like uniforms.
Yeah, it was kind of like a late Clone Wars, early Shore Trooper, white stormtrooper outfit with blue stripes down the front, and he was bringing us in for a landing. Also a rebel in disguise. And once the doors opened on Mustafar, we step out onto like a floating platform that's going to take us to the base. And like I said before, you start to feel the heat of Mustafar as soon as you step outside the shuttlecraft, and you smell the sulfur in the air, and the little platform starts moving, and I'm just looking, I'm just looking around. I'm looking at John Laval, who was with us, and I'm looking at Cap, and I'm like, all right, let's just try to act natural. We'll blend in here because of all these stormtroopers walk around. And it was, I don't know, that was in that moment you start to realize like you're in it, and it started to feel,
it's got such a good sense of scale, because like Mustafar, yeah, is a scary place to be, and feeling the environment around you and walking over like tiny little pathways to get to where you're going was really cool. And I just want to say, let's take this fight to the skies.
Yeah. Well, we didn't take the fight to the skies.
We didn't, but there was someone who was about to.
Yeah, yeah.
The mission is to acquire a package that appears to be quite sensitive.
Yeah, it's a crate of something. They say they're not really sure what it is. All they know is the Empire is treating it very special, and that means that they think it's some kind of weapon that could possibly turn the tide of the war. They're not really quite sure. All they know is they need us to steal it and make sure the Empire doesn't get it. And with that, you know, we start infiltrating this huge Imperial warehouse of who knows how many other artifacts and things, and you just start going down an elevator, and you get a huge sense of scale of this base, and droids flying around delivering things here and there, and other stormtroopers just looking at you weird. And I don't know, it's even though in reality you're only in like a very small walking space, you don't actually go up or down or whatever, but it really made you like, you just forget and you just think you're on an elevator going down to the next level because you don't know where you're going next. It's like going into a maze blindfolded and you don't even know where you're turning or anything until all of a sudden the VR in front of you shows, okay, you're on a level, the door's actually over here, but you didn't even know it was there because you weren't on that level yet. So I don't know, it was such a thrill to really feel like you're in the situation where you don't know where you're going and you're discovering it as you go along.
Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of replay value on this. We don't exactly know how much, but at least enough that you'll want to go twice. Which, if you're planning a trip, you may want to book two passages to Mustafar. I'm just saying, like, that is a totally reasonable thing to do, and I would have done it again immediately after had I had the foresight to do that. Or the money.
Or the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't have the money to do it more than once, but once is you're going to leave happy.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. You're going to be totally fine. You won't feel empty. But
yeah.
But here's the thing, though. You don't start out with blasters, but you get to a point where you can acquire some blasters. So you do. At this point, there's some forking paths. Not severely forking paths, but things can go differently. And
Well, not only... There's friendly fire is on, and those weapons are live the moment you touch them. Like there is no safety feature.
Yeah, and if you as a stormtrooper were to randomly discharge your weapon for no apparent reason, yes, that would cause some problems. And yes, when John Laval discharged his blaster just for funsies.
The moment we handed it to him, he says, oh, let's see if it works. Pew! Shoots the ceiling.
We were in deep shit and our cover was blown.
Immediately. Like red alert immediately. And you hear K2S would come over the speakers and says, oh, well, so much for subtlety.
So in this game, regardless of what happens, you're going to have to fight off hordes of stormtroopers. And I mean like a lot. And their accuracy isn't the best, but... There's enough of them that it's good enough, and you'll find out.
I feel like their accuracy was accurate to the films, I would say.
Yeah,
maybe even a little bit more accurate.
Maybe even a little bit more, but you will find out how good you actually are in a firefight because they're coming hot and heavy, and you're gonna have to take cover and you're gonna have to be careful about where you're aiming. And it's great. It's a really one-to-one experience. You don't have a lot of room usually. You're generally confined to like corridors and balconies. Like you're always pinned down. Those are the circumstances under like the. I mean, hey, you're infiltrating a base, so naturally you're going to be pinned down. And the advantage is not.
You really start to live that moment in A New Hope when Han and Luke are in stormtrooper outfits and they're trying to get Leia out of the cell block, and they're just. You're literally in a hallway surrounded on both sides. Like, what do we do? Like in the John Williams music is blasting and you're like looking at each other. No one's there. Like, I mean, K2SO might try to help you over like your headset, but you're for the most part, you're fending off these troopers on your own. And, I can't even think of another video game or anything that really makes you feel like that you're swept up in the middle of an adventure. That's wholly your own. That you're not just playing someone else's story.
And, there's an encounter where you're like kind of like outside, you're on a little balcony outside of this Mustafar base, so you're relatively close to the bottom of this base, which is of course suspended over lava, and there's troopers coming out in all sides and all directions on other balconies shooting at you, but there's also incidental what's kind of like giant fleas in the lava,
and lava monsters of some kind.
Yeah they're like I mean, they look like fleas, or they could call them lava larvas.
Sure.
So these lava larvas, I shot one because it was there, and I was like, oh, man, that's probably going to be bad. Now, I don't know if I triggered an event by doing that. I may have, but I shot one, and then a bunch more started showing up, and they start spitting lava at you, and the lava comes at you.
So we start shooting them,
You can shoot the lava that's flying at you, kind of like, you know, like a... House of the
deflect
Dead
it.
Like when the people are throwing axes at you, hit it and deflect it, but like this, like, you know, it's a wad of lava, you can shoot it to blow it up before it hits you, and then a big one comes out, a really big one, and that's a whole other problem. So it's great. It's got like this kind of trope of a shooter game in there of the, well, those various facets of the monsters that that spit things that you can shoot back, and then and while the hordes are of other like generic folks are shooting at you. That was super cool. Then we like, I don't know what K2 did, but there's like a door that gets blasted and it gets turned into slag, and you like actually like walk over the slag, and they had some foam down, I guess, or something, so your boots kind of like stick in it.
Yeah, your feet just barely sort of sink into it as you're walking through this melted doorway. And I don't know, it was just one of those small touches that when you don't expect it, you're like, this is real, you guys, we gotta move!
And there's a little bit of puzzle solving, high level, high stakes Simon, basically, memorize the lights and colors. While when you have to do some really quick thinking to delegate tasks, because someone needs to do that. But meanwhile, the stormtroopers are still coming, so...
Right.
And there's a bunch of different like doors that are opening and things that are going wrong. K2's yelling at you. It's a good panicked experience. And then, of course, hey, you're on Mustafar. Did you really think that Vader wasn't going to show up?
Into his backyard? You come into his house?
So there comes a point.
I'll be honest. I didn't think he'd show up.
Oh well, then you don't know Disney licensing.
I was so wrapped up in just trying to get the thing and get out of there.
Executives get really nervous if you don't cram a Jedi or a Sith into a Star Wars experience.
True, yeah. This was done well, though.
It was done very well. It made complete sense. The crate, you don't get hands-on with it, but we're like across a little like chasm while your guy in the blue suit opens it up. And what he pulls out, much to all of our surprise, is an ancient lightsaber. Like,
it's a kind that we've never seen before.
Yeah,
like, this is a new design, new everything.
Super weird. It has a hilt, but not a laser hilt, and it has a forked blade.
Yeah, this thing looks seriously ancient. Like it literally looks like, if you just in your mind's eye picture Excalibur, but it's forked. Like it's just two thin blades, and. But so as you're holding it, it could double as an actual sword. Like, I thought it was actually like an ancient sword before the Jedi discovered lightsabers. When he pulls it out, he's like, what is this? Some kind of ancient weapon. And you're like, oh my gosh. But those actual blades suddenly ignite, and it's this most interesting, weird, old, ancient design for a lightsaber, like, where the bottom hilt literally just looks like a sword. And then all of a sudden, it's a full-on lightsaber. And in that moment... all of a sudden a side door opens across the chasm and you hear the breathing, and immediately I'm just like, oh, we fucked up. Like, I don't know how we got here, but we fucked up now. And immediately it's like, you know, you go on high alert because you know he's coming, and you're like, what do we do? And then as soon as he steps out of that door, he ignites his saber, and it basically was like the end of Rogue One where Darth Vader starts coming at you.
Yeah, I got choked and thrown up in the ceiling. It was terrible.
Well, no, I didn't. That happens to other people. But every single shot that we three fired at him, every single one was deflected. Just boom, 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 like it was nothing. And in that moment, I was just sort of like, huh, this is neat. You know, like yeah, that's kind of fun and whatever. But then a little like gangplank starts to extend from where he's standing towards your direction, and I'm like, oh no, because is this thing gonna end where we all die? Are we gonna pull a Rogue One? You know, like, are we gonna does this thing end with Vader hovering above you and he swings a lightsaber down and it just cuts to black? And that's when it started to get frantic, and you started to really feel that panic that those same rebel troopers felt at the end of Rogue One, where this unstoppable space wizard is coming at you and nothing you can do can stop it.
Yep. And fortunately, K2SO crashes the ship into the base, which is enough to throw Vader off his game. I actually don't know what happened to him. He might have fallen off a ledge. That seems unlikely.
A lot happened there. Yeah. A lot was happening once this shuttlecraft crashes in through the wall and like takes out a dozen stormtroopers, and Vader somehow was distracted long enough for us to run over and jump into it.
But we did not make it out with that lightsaber. Right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we did get the data.
Yeah, we did get the reconnaissance information, and what we were told by a person at Void was that the intention is for this story to be, you know, tangentially canonical, whatever you ended up doing there, you know, like, this is a version of something that did happen. That lightsaber is going to show up somewhere else. Rebels was mentioned, but it couldn't possibly be in the remainder of this season. So it might actually indicate to, like, if we know there's a show coming out after Rebels, we don't know when that show takes place. Maybe it takes place immediately or soon after Rebels during the New Hope era. And if so, then that is where this sword is going to show up, or possibly the Star Wars comic book series. But Rebels was mentioned specifically, so I assume if they mentioned Rebels, then that actually means the next show.
And in the sense of that this VR experience bridges the gap between Rebels and Rogue One.
Yeah. I think there's some classic State of the Empire speculation here, but I feel like there's a very good chance that this guarantees that we'll see more involvement from Rogue One characters like Cassian Andor in the...
At least K2SO.
In the remainder... Yeah, at least K2 in the remainder of the season for Rebels. And that there's a very good chance that something pertaining to that sword is going to happen in the series that follows Rebels, which, if true, is actually the first piece of information that we know about that show, if true.
I guess it was also fun that when you finally get to the MacGuffin object where you're like, all right, what is this secret thing? It's something that we knew nothing about. it was like actually a secret. It was actually a surprise.
Like, we actually all went like, you know, whoa. Like, it was perfect. It was like, it was really the whole thing, like, tactfully, all the decisions made in creating this piece of entertainment was very smart, especially for Star Wars fans. It's hits all the right points. It's so rewarding for people who are fans of the deeper continuity than the surface level stuff. And also, I should point out, at the very end, you're right next to an R2 unit. Well, we could reach out and we could touch that R2 unit. It was actually there. But what we didn't realize is early on, we could have done the same thing with K2SO. There's a life-size K2SO that we did not interact with physically because we didn't realize that he was actually there.
And that's how it goes for most of the things there. Like, if it's close by, if it's close enough for you to touch, you can touch it.
So
with very few exceptions.
Yeah, and that's the Void. As you can tell, a pretty short experience, but a very immersive one, a ton of fun. Can't recommend it enough. I'm so excited to do it again. And when you're making travel plans to Anaheim/Los Angeles, Orlando, or London, definitely do this. And if you're anywhere near Toronto or New York, try out the Ghostbusters one. Let us know how it is, because, like, we're super curious.
Yeah, because if it's anything close to this, it's got to be amazing.
Yeah. So that's all for this episode of State of the Empire. We will be back in 2018 with something. Maybe news on Han Solo, because we don't have much time.
And I'm pretty sure the debates about The Last Jedi are going to continue for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah, that ugly discussion is far from over. I'm going to see it again, but there's still great conflict in me, folks. it's still quite challenging.
Meanwhile, my resolve has never been stronger.
So keep the discussion going over on Star Wars Spoilers, and we'll see you all real soon.